Welcome to the weekly podcast from the Church of England. In today's edition, we'll hear about a new national initiative for savings clubs in schools. We'll hear from the Church of England's Chief Education Officer on the language of faith and church schools, and from the new Prior of the St Anselm community based at Lambeth Palace. First, we start with news of plans by the Church of England to set up savings clubs in primary schools in an attempt to give pupils practical experience of managing money and raise their level of financial awareness. The Archbishop of Canterbury's Task Group on Responsible Credit and Savings is putting forward the proposal, which could see the children also given the opportunity to be part of the community savings clubs based in their schools. The chairman of the task group and former head of Barclays Bank, Sir Hector Sance, says he believes the plans can have real benefits.
Over time, all church primary schools, and hopefully in the long run, indeed all primary schools in the country, would adopt this programme. And the essence of the programme is that it's a savings club combined with an educational element and a community element. So there are three components to the proposition: the savings club, the educational component, and the community involvement. And we think that there's already evidence, because there are already examples of this out there on the ground, that successful implementation of that approach does indeed transform the ability of young people to manage their money. So we think it would make a significant difference to the financial capability of the country over time.
The group is now looking for funding from the government and other sources for pilot schemes in three areas, working with the Credit Union Foundation and the Personal Finance Education Board. Sir Hector says the scheme will increase links between local churches and schools.
We're envisaging that the local churches will provide volunteers to help run the credit union branch within the school, and that, as well as obviously providing people power to actually run the branch, would strengthen the link between the church and the school. So that's a sort of another key element of what we're looking for under the building of the community, that concept of the triangulation, the linking up of the community finance organisation, the school and the church in a central way within the community, and with people, with volunteers from the church helping.
The Archbishop's task group has also launched a new website with resources and links to its work. You can find it at www.toyourcredit.org.uk. The issue of religion in education is rarely far from the headlines, and in the last week a conference has been held in Birmingham for church school heads. The keynote address was given by the Archbishop of Canterbury, who talked about the recent so-called Trojan horse affair. The Chief Education Officer for the Church of England, Nigel Genders, also spoke at the event, and I caught up with him afterwards. I started by asking him why it was so important to get the language of faith and church schools right.
The term faith school is a term which has been coined really since 9/11 in 2001, where it was used rather pejoratively about schools that, you know, were seen to be just promoting faith. And what we're very keen to explain is that Church of England schools are schools that have been around for 200 years and more, and they're schools with a religious character. There's not such a thing as a faith school. It's not that our schools are there to simply inculcate people into the faith. They're there to provide education, the whole range and broad breadth of education, but with a religious character, so from a perspective of Christianity. But they're there for people of all faiths and of no faith. And so they're not there for a limited group of people or in order to achieve a particular thing, but rather they're there to provide broad education from within the context of the Christian faith.
And that kind of language has got embroiled within, as you refer to it in your blog, as the educational elephant in the room, Trojan horse.
Yes, and it's very interesting that it was the elephant in the room, particularly in the context of the conference that we're having in Birmingham. So Archbishop Justin was very clear about saying that this so-called Trojan horse is not something which affects Church of England schools. In fact, the way it's been described by the media since makes it sound like it's a Church of England school or a faith school, as they call them, problem. But actually, in that so-called Trojan horse instance, none of the schools were schools with a religious character. They were all community schools. And Archbishop Justin was very clear that rather than try and pretend that church schools are the problem, actually church schools are probably the solution to this, because what the church school can offer from its distinctive position is an answer which says, here is an opportunity to take faith and the teaching of religious studies very seriously, and to do that transparently and openly, and to ensure that we do that from the Church of England school perspective.
So why do you think there's still a place for religion in schools? What can religion in schools offer?
It's so important, because in the context that we live in, this globalised world where 75% of the people in this world take faith very seriously, unless we equip our young people with a religious literacy, a depth of knowledge about religion, then they won't be able to play their part in that world. So we need to make sure that religion and an understanding of religion is essential to a child's education.
Now, British values is also something that's come up within this, the whole education debate. And you've recently submitted the Church of England's views on British values to the DfE's consultation. What have you said in that?
We've said that it needs to be much broader. We're quite worried about the way that the whole direction of travel in education policy has been to bring in British values as a shorthand, by which they mean probably the prevent strategy, which is about ensuring that people, you know, are able to be considered to be safe and to be loyal to the country, rather than to say what is the essence of being part of this society where we've been built on a Christian heritage and we understand what it means to live with each other and to get on with each other and to be able to understand one another's views and to be able to love our neighbour and to have a much broader sense of what being, you know, British values based on that Christian heritage are all about. So we're asking for it to be broadened out and to be treated as a conversation about the place of religion in society generally, but also about, you know, how, you know, the values that have been represented in this country for hundreds of years can be grown and developed, rather than making it a very limited look at, you know, issues around, you know, what has been described in the prevent strategy to prevent extremism. It's not about extremism. It's about ensuring that we're able to live as a society together and to be able to understand one another.
The Reverend Nigel Genders, the Church of England's Chief Education Officer. Statistics released this week showed that an average of 1 million people attended Church of England services each week last year. It's down about 1% on the previous year and relates to regular weekly parish and cathedral services. Figures for people going to Christmas services are steady, with 2.4 million people attending services on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day last year. The Bishop of Sheffield, the Right Reverend Stephen Croft, gave me his reaction to the figures.
Those are the people that are normally worshipping in Church of England churches on Sunday, and of course they're living out their Christian discipleship in loving their neighbours and in Christian service through the week. That number's going down slightly year by year. It has been for some time. We're doing all kinds of things as a church to address that, and I'm confident and hopeful that over time we'll see that gentle decline turn into steady growth for the future. And of course there's 1 million active worshippers are part of a much larger number of people whom the Church of England is serving, who are part of us in some way, whose marriages we're taking, whose funerals our clergy are taking, whose children we're baptising, and who are part of the wider community of worshipping Anglicans. And they in turn are part of a very, very significant number of people who will still declare themselves to be Christians and members of the Church of England.
You talked about things that are already going on in churches. What do you see in your diocese? What sort of examples of churches trying to increase their numbers do you see there?
Oh, I think most weeks as I travel across the diocese, I see things which are deeply encouraging. Ordinary clergy and congregations really serving their communities in imaginative ways. I was launching a new stage in one of our church plants in the centre of Sheffield a few weeks ago. It's a community of mainly young adults who have been meeting together for around 4 years now, about 130 people packed together in the place where they're meeting, and all set for growth, and people are growing in their discipleship as well. And most of the growth and the good things I see are simply through ordinary parishes doing really creative things really well, but doing them steadily year by year and being there to serve their wider community.
What challenges do you think the Church of England faces in the future?
I think the principal challenge is to continue to respond to the particular place we find ourselves at this moment with hope and with confidence in the message that we've been given to proclaim. People are responding as we seek to communicate the good news in all kinds of different ways in our schools, to young people in all kinds of contexts and in every parish. One of the most significant figures over the last 10 years is that adult baptisms every year have increased from 8,000 to around 11,000. You don't get baptized as an adult unless you're really serious about your faith. And that's a sign that people are learning about faith and also that the church is committed to teaching it. And I think that's what we need to be doing in every single church, every year, just quietly, gently, winsomely communicating the Christian faith and teaching it. And also going to where people are, loving them where they are, listening to them where they are, and introducing them, as it's appropriate, to the wonderful news we have in the Christian faith.
The Bishop of Sheffield, the Right Reverend Stephen Croft. This week sees the World Day of Remembrance for road traffic victims, and for one vicar in Yorkshire, it's doubly significant. The Reverend Paul Cartwright from St Peter's the Apostle and St John the Baptist in Barnsley was a traffic officer in the West Yorkshire Police Force for 16 years before he was ordained. I spoke to him while he was in Belgium for Armistice Day and asked him why the church wanted to be involved.
I think the church being the centre of the community, it gives a chance for people to come together and actually remember those who have been killed or experienced life-changing injuries. For myself, having previously been a road traffic police officer, I think it's an important ministry that we can offer to the people in our area. There'll be police officers there who have worked as family liaison officers. There'll be regular congregation members there. And we're very fortunate that actually there's someone who I supported when his son was killed. Tony Davison is going to come along and speak about how he's been able to take such a terrible situation and turn it into something positive, trying to educate people, going around schools, ensuring that other people don't actually live their lives on the road. I think one of the greatest privileges that you can have is being alongside someone at a time of bereavement. It's something that we probably don't enjoy doing, but it's an honour to be able to do it. I know when I spoke with Tony Davison, he always refers to me if we're together in the same room and he's giving a presentation. He often points to me and says, "That man in the corner there wearing the collar, I remember the day when he came and destroyed my family." And it's that human aspect that really is challenging sometimes. That said, he says he would not want anyone else to do it, because you build up those friendships and you build up support for one another.
Finally this week, the Archbishop of Canterbury has appointed a prior for the community of St Anselm, which will be based at Lambeth Palace. Anders Litzel is an Anglican priest from Sweden and will pioneer the community that launches in September next year. Initially, it'll be made up of 16 people living at the palace full-time and up to 40 others who will join as non-residential members. Anders explains what his role will involve.
Well, in practice, it means I will be taking the Archbishop's vision for the community and, with God's help, turning it into reality. Now, the Archbishop's vision is to draw Christians from all across the world, aged 20 to 35. Some will be Anglican and some not. And to create a community that is identified by prayer, by learning, by love for one another, and by love for the poor. And all with one aim: to become more like Jesus.
Anders Litzel, who's the new prior of the St Anselm community at Lambeth Palace. And you can find out more about the group on the Lambeth Palace website. In next week's podcast, I'll have reports from General Synod, and in Prisons Week, I'll be speaking to prisoners about what their faith means to them. I'm Gillian Moody. Thanks for listening.